Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Now, we've all had the experience of having to put something together only to be frustrated by an incomprehensible instruction manual, which in turn implies that there must be a skill to doing it properly. Well, someone who could write an instruction manual on how to write an instruction manual is Paul Ballard, MD of 3GI, who make instruction manuals. Paul, good afternoon to you.
How are you doing, Sean?
Could you describe for us what is the process when you get a new commission?
What we're trying to work out is exactly what information is going to be most useful to the people who need to use the product, and only focus on writing about that information, not necessarily writing about everything you could possibly write about the product, but only focus on the stuff that really works, is only worth doing. So we start off asking those sorts of questions. Sometimes we talk to the customer who's got the product and ask them, what problems have you had? So what problems have your customers told you about? And so we try and understand, so we can then focus on writing the describe the product, how to set it up, how to make sure that it's going to be working in the way that somebody wants, and then use pictures, use text sometimes use video, and then think about whether it's going to have to be in lots of languages. Mm-hmm. Or whether it's going to have to be meeting health and safety regulations. So we kind of work out all of that stuff, and then we basically create a finished document sometimes, but sometimes it's information that's sitting on a website as opposed to in a box. But it basically go through that sort of process.
Yeah, and in the course of that process, do you have to sometimes perhaps talk the manufacturer down off a ledge and say, no, don't include every piece of information about your product, or tell people how brilliant the product is, they've already bought it?
Yes, that is the classic. Those two things are the classic things that often go wrong, is that they forget that they don't, by the time they've got the manual, sometimes they don't, certainly if it's something in a box, you don't need to know why you bought it. The other thing is you'll often get very technical people in the company who insist that every little detail about this wonderful product that they made has to be in the manual. So that's certainly are some things that we have to persuade them to kind of step away from. The other thing that happens is that you can sometimes recognize that actually having the manual as part of selling it or marketing it can actually be really powerful, and that often works very well. But it's not necessarily the little manual that's in the box. It will be information that might be on the website or searchable through Google.
Now, I suppose it depends on what the product is, but would the aim always be to have the instruction manual as small as possible?
Well, no, it does depend on the physical constraints of the the actual product. So, for example, we wrote a manual for a hay steriliser. A hay bale steriliser.
Right, okay.
And so for that, it's used on farms and around the world. And that manual didn't have to worry too much about how big that manual was, because the box that the hay bale steriliser came in was pretty big itself. But the way that information was done, we had a little manual actually in with the steriliser, but we also had lots of information on the company's website so people could find it beforehand. So you've done that. You then got things like Pure radios. So the radios you can go and buy at a shop. So those, we do the manuals for the Pure radios. So for them, clearly you've got a very little radio, and there are very tight constraints about how physically big the manual needs to be. And of course, for them, they're dealing with lots of languages around Europe, plus all the boring health and safety stuff that you've got to write sometimes, even with something like a radio.
Yeah. Now, and when you're in that situation where it'll be sold in multiple territories and there are different languages, is there often a debate about, well, should we have written words at all in this, or can we do the same job just with diagrams and pictures?
Well, the tricky bit is getting the balance right. And I think obviously, you've got the extreme example of IKEA, who decided a long time ago that actually for most of their products, if they could find a way to explain the product without having to use any words, it would massively save massively save money and time and space, all of which contributes to the sort of things that put up prices for products. So for them, they went the extreme and found a way in most cases to create really useful manuals without any words at all, so you don't need to translate. For mere mortals, most companies, they often don't have the scale and the way of producing things, which means you can avoid using words at all. So there's normally a somewhere in the middle, somewhere in between, really.
Yeah, because of course the IKEA instructions is a very good example of that. Some people, in my experience, the information is there, but you just have to read it or look at the pictures very carefully, because screw A3 can look very like screw A4, and then you can put in the wrong screw, and then you've destroyed the whole thing.
Yeah,
other people just find that impenetrable.
Yeah, it is, and it's I think it's the thing with manuals, even great manuals. There's always some people who aren't going to quite get it, or where the manual's not really been designed with them in mind, and that is in many cases unavoidable. But a lot of what we do, and a lot of what professional technical authors, and there are such people, people who work in companies, they're trained, they're members of professional institutes, and the things that they think about are, how do I get the best possible combination so that for the people who are going to be using this manual, that I can be pretty confident that most of their problems I'm going to be taking away, I'm going to be solving most of that problems. But clearly, sometimes you're not going to solve it every time.
Yeah. And again, that's an interesting thing, especially when it's something that might be fiddly or technical to some degree, like a piece of IKEA furniture. Is it always better to kind of write it so that the stupidest person you can imagine can understand that, and therefore you risk insulting the intelligence of someone who's not as stupid as that, or do you steer a middle course?
Well, put it this way, my general guide is, if I can understand the manual that we've written, then it's normally aimed at the right sort of level, because I can be a bit thick sometimes reading manuals, but I love reading manuals, as you can imagine, and so I need all the help I can get, and also I enjoy deconstructing and working out what they've done with it. But yeah, it is, in most cases, you're dealing with a very specific, if you like, type of reader, and that's what you're thinking about. So for example, we do work for a company called Roche, who are a big pharmaceutical company, and they have blood testing machines in hospitals. And so when we're writing the manuals for them, as you can imagine, the people who are going to be reading it are very highly trained people in hospitals. And so there's a very specific type of person we're writing for. Whereas for something like, say, Haynes Manual. So Haynes have got a brilliant reputation for famous manuals that have been around for over 50 years. And their model is really useful for lots of people, whether they're, these are mechanics, these are home mechanics as well as professional mechanics. So some companies have really got it right and have worked out a way to combine pictures and text and graphics and videos so that whoever's looking at it can actually work out what they need to do. And that's the best way to try and do it.
Can you give us an example of a really good instruction manual? Preferably one that doesn't come from your company. You looked at it and you thought, God, I admire that. That's good work.
Well, actually, there's a little company, if any of you know Harry's, who are the shaving, kind of relatively new shaving brand.
Mm-hmm.
So Harry's do a very, I'm a customer of Harry's. I changed their razors last year, and I got the trial pack through, and a lovely little manual, just like the sort of thing that you get with your iPhone. Beautiful little fold out that you get with a razor, showing you how to shave. Now, you'd think we don't need to have a shave, but getting that little manual, you kind of go, that's nice, a nice touch. So they've done a really nice job, because they've made it entertaining. It's not a boring little manual. It's got a little picture of a guy with a beard, and it's a very nice little approach by using the manual to make the product more interesting, because let's face it, it's just a razor.
Yeah.
And then you've got, and then the Apple, guys at Apple, their little manuals you get in the box, those are really, really nice, because the whole point of a Samsung device or an Apple device is that the product, you never need to use a manual with those in theory, because the product is so well designed that you never have to try and find out how to do anything. It's all so well designed in the product. And that is really, if you've got a product that's so well designed that it doesn't need a manual, that's, if you like, when you're doing it right. And that's those Samsung and Apple are good examples of mass market products that have a really nice approach.
The people who work for you, Paul, what route do they take into the industry? Would they be arts graduates who are, you know, frustrated novelists, or would they be technical people who like to write a bit?
Well, that's a really good question. We get a good mixture. So we've got about 30 people in the UK. We've got some people in Poland, and we've got one of our project managers actually based in Ireland, in Raglan near Dublin. The routes in are quite varied. So they tend to be either ex-physicists, you know, ex-engineers who realise they're very good at communicating about technology, or they are maybe former journalists or former teachers or trainers who've realised, again, that they're very good at getting under the skin of an issue or something complicated and have worked out really good ways of explaining it. So there's a really good course at the University of Limerick. They've got a very good technical writing course. There aren't actually any courses, graduate courses, in the UK. As I say, Limerick's actually got a really good one. And there are companies in the UK and Ireland who've got good, you know, training, people who, you know, where you can learn how to be a writer, even if you've done your degree or even if you've not done a degree at all and you come from some other background. So it's normally a second career. That's often how people come into it, having done something else first.
How fascinating. Paul, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That's Paul Ballard there, Managing Director of 3DI.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.